Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467369.
This is your Bomb Wednesday service. I am Naima Cochran, better known to most as Senior Pastor of Music Sermon. Today, what am I today? Today, I think I am also the minister of
fire and brimstone.
Clarity, fire and brimstone. See, I'm not doing listeners in the hands of an angry God today. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to go that direction.
I'm going to put this battery in your back.
We're going to bring everything forth. We're going to bring the word forth with love.
Revelations today.
We're not going to do that. We're going to keep it with love. As always, is my minister of what are you? You the helpmates?
Helpmates. I am the director of the Helps Ministry.
Helps. And I'm going to help. Which I like to call the Helps Ministry because that's what old black people actually call it.
I'm going to help you get these trash individuals that in your mentions and DMs out the paint, because this is not what we're about to do today. Nope.
So,
because people don't understand reading comprehension. Okay.
So, family, we actually had like content planned for you today. We talked about it last week. I was going to hit Trey. We were going to do the whole boomerang thing. And then on yesterday, everything just went left. So me and Karn are freestyling just a little bit. We know what we're talking about, but we don't, like, usually I have notes and all this stuff, and we're not doing that shit today.
Nah,
but before we get into it too deeply, because y'all know if I get to going, I'm going to forget. Let me first do some housekeeping as we do the church announcements.
Some background music today. You know,
so this is your reminder, as I know you already know, but let me remind y'all that even though you are here with me and Karin on today, there is a wide array of programming available to you through the Count the Dings and Bomb Ministries. So for Count the Dings, you have your Dad Pod on Monday, you have your Cinephobes on Wednesday, and you have the Friday Mailbag. And on the Bomb Feed, you have the OG Show on Tuesdays, you have us on the Wednesdays, and you have Woke Pros and Growing Up the Same on Thursdays. And then there is the Pack Your Knives. I don't know if Pack, you know what? I need to check if Pack Your Knives is still on, because I think that Top Chef may be over. So a little something for everybody. And if none of those things appeal to you and you want to give above and beyond just listening and subscribing and commenting, you can make a small donation in order to access our Patreon for exclusive content and extras. That is patreon.com/countthedings. All right. with that out of the way.
Wait. Why should they donate? Because give your money to us.
To that white man.
And not to that white man.
Not that white man. I have not waited. Let the record show, as Claire Olivia Hanks Huxtable would say, let the record show, I have not actually said that I believe Sean King to not be a black person.
That's I all. Said it.
You said it. I just want the record to show that I did not say it. All right, guys. So here's the thing. Yesterday should have been a very, 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 very big day for
me. Wait. Let me sip another sip of this cognac. Also, shout out. This is cognac for Kamala.
Cognac for Kamala. Yes, let's start there. Shout out to Kamala Harris. Listen, regardless of how you feel about Kamala, if you personally have issues with her prosecutorial background.
I don't have a... Listen. I have not been this excited about politics.
We need
in 2008. I'm excited.
A moment to acknowledge this is an historic moment. It's an historic moment. A black woman is the vice presidential candidate for the first time ever. And she's HBCU educated. And she's part of the Divine Nine, which is especially important to me, myself personally, even though she's an AKA and I'm a Delta, but that's all good. A sister Greek love, etc. And we've already seen how she's going to have to deal. I said this on Instagram, how she's going to have to deal with the combined fire and just chopper spraying of both racism and sexism. So she needs covering right now. So we're going to keep Kamala covered.
In this cognac.
In the name of the cognac and Jesus. So yeah, shout out to Kamala. That's a very big deal.
I am so happy.
So yeah, yesterday, as a black woman, me myself, should have been a big deal for me because yesterday, my very first cover feature ever came out on Billboard about Versus and the Versus effect. I've been working on this story for 2 motherfucking months.
And that thing had bars in it. Bars.
I've been working on this story for 2 motherfucking months. I went through unimaginable levels of edit. I swear to God, 8 editors touched my joint. And if you are a writer, you know that as soon as you get at 3 editors or more, everything is chaos.
I am a professional journalist, and more than 2 editors touched my work, and I'm ready to fight everybody. So 8, I don't know how you did it.
It might have been 7, but it was more than 6. Like, I think it was 8. And the thing is, like, that the reason that we say that is because once you get to editor number 3, they're contradicting editor number 1, number 2 is contradicting number 3, number 1 told you to take something out that number 3 told you to put in, number 2 put something in, number 3 is telling you to take it out, number 1 is going back. It's all, like, your shit gets all lost in the sauce. So to actually try to be vigilant about maintaining your voice through that many people and
certain bars and certain sentences and certain things you want to say.
And inserting, especially the way I write, you know, with a little bit of light and humor. And like, my voice is very much always in my work. And it's like keeping that shit there, because my thing is, y'all, I'm very fortunate. Wait, hold on. I'm cleaning my lens. I'm very fortunate because even though I haven't been writing professionally for long, because of how long I've been in my career period, there are certain stories that editors will seek me out for. So my thing is, if you ask me to write this, you already know how I'm about to write it, which is why you asked me to write it. So I'm going to...
That's a very nice way of saying, y'all came to me, shut the fuck up, let me do what y'all brought me here for. You're very nice. You're way more diplomatic to me, because that is not how I be in newsrooms sometimes.
Billboard is a trade mag. We all know Billboard is a trade mag. I'm not a business writer. I could be, because I've been in the business for a billion years, but my actual goal is usually to explain why things are relevant outside of the context of just streaming numbers, chart positioning, and sales. I'm a culture writer. Like, I'm trying to give you some context around just this song was number 1 and that's why we should fuck with it. It's like, why else is it important? So I say all that to say, this story took a lot to get to the finish line. So it comes out. Me as the writer, I'm writing, I see the edits, I do whatever. I had not seen the cover. I knew they were going to include several of the Versus artists, whatever. It comes out. And within the first couple hours that it's out, this big backlash starts because Beanie and Bounty were left off of the cover. And we
realized that Jante and Neo were as well. And they were, that was one of the best verses I saw.
I mean, but here's the thing, right? If you read my story, I started
all about them.
Well, I know, but I started at Teddy and Face. Mm-hmm. Dante and Neo were pre-Teddy.
Way before that.
Teddy and Face was the turning point. So it's kind of like...
I even wrote about Teddy and Face for a sports magazine because it was that big of a deal.
And it was almost like a sports match, exactly.
It was like a boxing match.
So I started at Teddy and Face because that was kind of the tipping point for Versus. So I understood. So the ones we covered in depth were Teddy and Face Beyond. And not even every one of those. Like, I didn't touch on Jada and Fab.
Nope.
I ain't getting to motherfucking 112 and Jagged Edge. There were a few that I didn't touch on, right? But also, I did reference some of the previous battles just really quickly. We referenced John
and Dream.
I referenced Dream and Sean mostly because they were beefing.
You ain't for the culture, though.
Right. In my original edit, I also did at least run through, like, some of the early... I just mentioned the early battles, like Primo and Reza and, like, Jante and Neo. But the final edit that everybody saw was 1,000 words shorter than what my final version was. So that's rule number one.
But because people don't understand space determines everything.
So the first thing y'all should understand about people who write stories is that we have a limited amount of control over, especially when you're writing for a major publication, right? Like, if you're writing for a blog, something like that, this may not apply. When you're writing for a major publication, your control over the absolute final product is limited, which is why when people are mad about headers and, you know, what the tweet pulls are and stuff like that, and they attack the writers,
that's we ain't got nothing to do with that.
The editor problem, right? Or if you're even mad at the picture that's attached to the story, that's an editor problem.
That could be the social media department.
Rarely the writer. And that's the unfortunate part. Like, once you either link to submit your Google Doc, or press send on that email, you done delivered the shit into the hands of somebody else.
In terms of, like, situations like me where I'm a columnist, where it's your voice is my opinion, so I have a lot more gumption of being like, no, that needs to stay, and this is why, because this is how I feel. But for the most part, even in my days, it's just like a straight reporter. Yeah, once you send that thing on in, who knows what you're going to get back?
Who knows what you're going to get back? And I've been very lucky in that a lot that I push back on, we were at least able to come to, like, a middle ground, mm-hmm. because my absolute line in the sand was that if this doesn't sound like something I was going to say, you're going to have to take my name off of it.
Rule number one, your name is on that byline, not nobody else's. Be 100% comfortable with what's in the final print.
Exactly. So we got past that hurdle. But anyway, so BD and Bounty weren't on the cover. The people who were on the cover, for those who have not yet seen it, were Kirk Franklin and Fred Hammond, which I think they added them because the healing versus was so crucial, was such a crucial moment. It was immediately post George Floyd. It was in the middle of the uprising that, like, right at the end of May going into June. Alicia and John.
Right. And also, Kirk Franklin also had, like, special surprise guests.
Special surprise.
No one else is there.
It was live. They had a pastor, you know, they did an altar call. There was a lot happening. They did John and Alicia because Alicia was his wife, obviously. And also because John and Alicia are two Black artists that mainstream readers recognize on site very easily and quickly. Obviously, Teddy and Face, X and Snoop, Erica and Jill, mm-hmm. and then, of course, Tim and Swiss themselves. It's a very crowded cover. That said,
it's a very dope cover made by...
So,
a Black woman as well, correct?
Well, the Black woman did the illustration in the story, which is also very dope, very, very dope.
All of the collage, presentation.
The collage artist of the cover, I'm pretty sure he's a white man, but it's all good. It was still dope. So there's a couple of things. I do not profess to understand what Billboard's actual decision-making was and who they chose. My guess is that it was mostly about who they felt their reading audience because Billboard's audience is not Black, and this Versus story was really more for people who don't know what Versus is than those of us who do know what Versus is. Like, the point of a story is always really more about people who don't know some shit about the topic than the people who do know everything about the topic.
Yeah, so, because this is what people don't understand. Like, this is a Billboard. This is a music magazine. It is for the masses. And if you're looking for something like that,
business mag. It is a trade mag. It's not like a lifestyle.
It's not like a niche genre magazine.
Right. It is like,
this ain't XXL.
If you work at a label, Billboard lands on your desk. Well, they don't do weekly print anymore. But if you worked at a label, Billboard lands it on your desk every. Did they come out Friday? Monday, whenever the fuck they came out. But every week, Billboard landed on your desk as an executive. It's a trade magazine, right? Charts, numbers, sound scan, all of that shit. Same Billboard. That's what they do. So anyway, Beanie tweets out. He's upset. Hip hop be stealing from dance. I'm wildly paraphrasing. Hip hop steals from dance hall culture, leaves them out. You know, basically accusing everybody of like using the Sound Clash to elevate Versus, but then like leaving them out of this big moment. But the thing is, Beanie and Bounty were in my story.
Yeah.
Prominently.
I read their names like this.
They weren't on the cover though. So what happened was, when the West Indian Massive decided that they needed to get justice for Beanie, which I understand. I understand the passion. I understand that there's I understand that there's a feeling that American culture doesn't properly respect and acknowledge what we borrow and what we call from West Indian culture. And from Caribbean culture, Jamaican culture, from reggae, dancehall, from all that, we will take it, we will use it, but we don't really embrace it and give it its proper attribution and credit. So
that
I understand
is the same ideology that America was built on. And I understand their frustration with that, but America does that too. Everybody,
it wasn't like Black people do specifically to other Black people. So it's a valid critique. But that said, what had happened was, because my name and the name of the illustrator who did the actual work in the story, which was beautiful, it was fucking beautiful, were the easiest to find, we became the targets.
Because people and didn't know how to Google editors.
Right, of this fucking, like, you know, Justice for Beanie campaign. And I've been called a culture vulture. I can't even say it now. A culture vulture. Why can't I say culture vulture? Why can I not say that all of a sudden? Culture vulture. I've been called a culture vulture. When did I become a tongue twister?
You want to sign it out?
I can't believe I can't say the word.
It has four syllables.
I don't know why I can't say it. That's a tongue twister all of a sudden. I was called that thing. That Damon Dash.
That thing.
I was called that thing.
Dame Dash created that term.
I was told I was embarrassing and disrespecting Caribbean culture. I was told that I was disrespecting Beanie and Bounty. I was told that I was like basically going against my own culture and my own people because I was omitting and erasing. And I was like, I, Naima, I do none of that shit. I didn't do any of that. And I was actually explaining to people like, yo, I wrote the fucking story in there in the story. I got shit to do with the cover. And literally people were like, but aren't you the writer? Aren't you the writer? Yeah, I'm the writer. And guess what? I wrote about their asses. Like, they're in the story. I had nothing to do with the cover. And what amazed me is that even once people really understood, like, I do not work for Billboard, I am an independent creative, they are in the story that I wrote, I have no input on the cover. The attitude, there would, like,
you would have thought they would have been like,
apologies. And it wasn't just one person, it wasn't even just the person on Twitter. Anybody getting apologies was like impossible. It was more just like, well, you just got to take it because your name is the name that's on this shit. No, my name is on the story that they're actually featured in. My name ain't on that fucking cover. You know what I mean? And then, so it's been what should have been yesterday, me, first of all, Black women writing cover stories for mainstream publications, period.
Yeah.
Shit doesn't happen a whole lot.
Nope.
And I wrote a cover story about some super black fucking shit.
Yep.
That shit really doesn't happen.
Nope.
Hell of a lot. And again, it was my first. So instead of yesterday being able to, and like, there is
no first time.
No more perfect subject I could have written on them verses. For, like, no more perfect.
Do you remember when I wrote about verses and before I wrote about it, I texted you and was like, hey, did this make sense?
Remember that. I do remember that. And I mean, like, that's why, like, there's no, when they gave me the assignment, I was so excited. I was so excited. I was like, I can do the story in my fucking sleep. Psh, famous last words. Anyway, yeah, so yesterday should have been a really good day for me. And instead, I was fighting with people online half the day. But and even more so than for me, it really pains me that, because people were coming at Tim and Swizz too, it pains me that Tim and Swizz did not even really get to celebrate and bask in this industry-wide acknowledgement of something that they built completely by themselves, organically, just off the love of black music. Like, they completely built this thing for our legacy artists. There are no booking agents involved in verses. Nobody's calling managers like, yo, can you do this? This is like them, right? It really does hurt me that they didn't even get a chance to really sit in that moment before they were getting like all this shit thrown at them. And again, I get it. Listen, Caribbean massive, my West Indian people, I get your frustration. All I'm saying is direct that shit towards the right people.
It ain't over here, cuz.
It ain't over here. It ain't over here. Y'all could cuss me out all day, every day. Billboard sees it. They ain't gonna change shit though, cause I don't work for them. I don't work.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
The frustrating conversation I had with some black people when, and you have tweeted about this ad nauseum, when they get upset at BET and they'll be like, BET needs to do a better job. And I always remind them, the E in BET is for entertainment, not education, though. Bob Johnson did not create this network to raise your badass little kids. You're a trash ass parent. Bob Johnson created this because he was trying to fill a void, and he is a Republican businessman that votes for Trump. That should let you know right there. Secondly, while yes, I understand that BET used to have these educational programs back in the day, but you know what?
Well, why nobody watching them shits back then either?
But they did high ratings at first, and then they fell off. So you know what they had to do? They had to find something that got numbers. It's the same way that happens in the journalism profession, where people will get mad at us and be like, look, why y'all always write negative stories about who got killed and who got shot, and not the uplifting stories about the dude in the neighborhood that run an after-school program? And I'll be like, well, sir, would you like to see the page views from when someone gets shot compared to when I spend 8 hours running people down trying to write this good story, and three of y'all have read it?
Right.
So, at some point, you have to take responsibility of, and people will give you what you asked for.
Right.
And BET gave black people what they asked for.
BET did give black people what they asked for. And in the case of this, this is what hurt my heart. Like, as much as we asked for our people to tell our stories, you got our people telling our stories.
And you're still mad.
And you're holding our people accountable for the shit the white people did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like,
this ain't like when Ebony wasn't paying black people. This ain't that.
So now I have had, but what I do want to say is that last night, right around this time, right about now that we're taping, when I was crying, I was already like just aggravated and I was tired, and I had been going through the shit on IG all day before I came over to Twitter and had to deal with it there. And usually, I know you and I, y'all should know, me and Karin have two very different approaches as to how we deal with people on the internet. He's quick to block. I engage before I block.
All right, listen, I'm with all the shits. Either I'm going to block you or I'm going to fight you. So since I'm at a point in my career where I can't let nobody mess this up for you, right, I'm just going to block you. Because what that really means when I block you, if this was in real life and you said this to me,
I would
be looking up at the sky. That's what that means.
So the reason I had to engage yesterday is because a woman came at me and the illustrator, Lynn.
Oh, listen.
And like she ended her tweet with like shame. Like that was her thing, like y'all should be ashamed. And I was like,
and then we both explained it to her.
Bitch, the fuck? And that's what I wanted to say was bitch the fuck. And I didn't say that. A matter of fact, there was one point in the exchange where I actually did tweet fuck you, and then I deleted it. And instead said everything you're saying is bullshit. But the thing is, she really wasn't trying to listen. And not only was I explaining to her, you were explaining to her, like mad people were explaining to her, and she was doing like back at like half-ass walkbacks. Like, oh well, now I understand. No, bitch.
No. I don't accept.
I was like, because she said to somebody, we're good. I said, no, we're not.
No, we're not.
Okay, you ain't actually said I apologize. Like, none of those
I don't accept backhanded compliments. No.
None of that. Really? She finally did delete the tweet, but it took hours. I wasn't even responding to her anymore. Everybody else was. But I wanted to say that the Black writing community, which I've only been part of in a real way for a short amount of time, when I tell you they showed up for my ass last night, extremely appreciative for the way they held me down.
I mean, like, you got to come to NABJ conferences now.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm
a member of NABJ. Wait, my dues aren't current. But I am a member of NABJ. Last year, I became a member too late to actually get housing. I mean, actually get a room because everything was sold out.
Yeah, Miami was popping. It was crazy. This year,
my intention had been to go, but I definitely wasn't going to pay $250 to attend a virtual conference.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah,
I would pull up. Houston. We'll be in Houston.
I'll be in Houston so we can go to the strip club. So I just wanted, so for those who do listen from the, and not only just the writing community, but like my music sermon people, y'all who are out there, like, I know how it feels to have a hive, and that sounds crazy, but like it was good to know that people like legit have my back, and I appreciate that. And it was affirming to know that I built a brand of consistency where people knew to go to bat for me, even if they hadn't read the story, because they knew I wasn't on no bullshit. Yes, Car, we said doing the Color Purple clap.
Maddie!
That was dope. That warmed my heart. So thank y'all for that, because I needed that in that moment. And a lot of y'all hit me, DM me, hit me on the side, whatever. I appreciate all of that. I know. I realized.
I just went straight to the text. It was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I was like, stop tweeting. I was like, stop tweeting.
But I also will say, I lost my train of thought. I also will say this. I recognize that in the grand scheme of things, the people who are actually coming at me, it's a small number. It's just that when you're attacking me for the very thing that I work my ass off to not do, that shit definitely hurt.
I will tell you this as we wrap that segment of the show up. Yeah. What you learned today or yesterday and the day before is the most valuable lesson you can learn as a writer and or a journalist today in the time of social media, which is if you write something purposely or unpurposely that gets people pissed off and they come at you, is that coming out of that, I think you have the understanding of when you're in that storm, after you go through it the first time, you realize that in totality, that's a small group of people. And there's just a small group of people on Twitter or IG doing that. And the rest of the people in the world don't know, don't care, or ain't that mad. And now, the next time it happens, you probably just gonna be like, oh, well.
I mean, it you know, theoretically, intellectually, I was clear that this wasn't even about me. Mm-hmm. But like I said, my emotions were high, I was tired, I was cranky. And the way people were coming at me, it was hard for me to let it sit.
Yeah, you went season 5 The Wire, Marlo. Like, my name is my name. Like, you was in the middle of the street with the suit on. Ooh, you don't know my name? Like, you went Marlo.
And I let them tweets stand too. I ain't delete shit. I meant everywhere. And them bitches got red on the Breakfast Club this morning. I didn't intend for it to go that far. But shout out to Andrew.
You got your first Breakfast Club shout out today?
In the larger context of the whole cover controversy. So
to the club.
Those who have my back, I do appreciate you. And if you haven't read the story yet, please write it. Please read it, because I actually am proud of it. So that said, moving on. You gave us actually a good segue.
Let's get to the fun part.
You gave us a very good segue in mentioning that the E and BET was for entertainment, and that the entertainment is not here to raise your badass kids.
Nope.
So Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi
Belcalis
B released the video for a little song they call Wet Ass Pussy. Wop. And that wop, like, make you say yo LL and do the wop.
That's an O.
I know, exactly.
That's an O.
But WAP. Now, here's the thing. Is the song raunchy and graphic? Yes.
No, it ain't even that bad to me.
Is it the raunchiest, most graphic, nastiest song I ever heard? A female MC spit?
No.
Absolutely not.
It ain't even top five.
It ain't even top 10. If we want to keep it a buck. The video also.
Ain't like, even that nasty. Video would not even been made uncut.
No, it's the strongest thing about the video is the scene where Cardi has on pasties, and that's only because her titties are really big.
No, the best scene of the video is Megan's split, but this video ain't even touching. Tell me what that thing smell like. Not even close.
I'm saying the strongest in terms of like the closest thing to graphic. It ain't no blurs in the video. Mm-hmm. It ain't no whatever. So as hip hop culture is want to do, and Black culture is want to do, I'm gonna leave white people out of this one because this is a family situation. Because this is our shit to sort out.
Let white people. Just let them be.
It's fucking clutching pearls. They pulling out scripture. They're worried about the state of our young women. Oh, what is the next generation going to do? Oh, what has become of music? Oh, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. It's vulgarity. It's filth. Whatever happened this generation. Yada, 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 yada. Nigga.
Pause. Knowing that Sodom and Gomorrah, to this day, is still the filthiest description we have of humans in literary history.
Right.
That's why we compare nasty shit to Sodom and Gomorrah, because nothing still in 2020 is as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right. We ain't done nothing in
Sodom and Gomorrah was so bad that a bitch turned into a pillar of salt.
Just for looking
at the shit.
We have not seen that in this realm of Earth as of yet in modern times, in AD times. So yeah, it's like, first of all, the people who are saying this shit, y'all know good and well y'all grew up on.
Let's not do that. Let's call it what it is.
Let's start with the hypocrisy, because people really do get revisionist memory after like 35. I don't know if it's a vitamin y'all take. I don't know if it's the diet change. I don't know if it's something that changes in your hormonal imbalance. But like, I don't understand what the selective amnesia is that you get about shit you did when you were in high school and college in your early 20s.
You know what it is.
As soon as you get 35.
You know what it is.
Hypocrisy?
You can't tell Black people shit if they, one, have kids or get married. Because they feel, after that, they know everything and what's good for everybody else.
Baptized anew. Which, no, you weren't. I mean, here's the thing. But also, like, Meg and Cardi, why do they bother y'all? I don't understand. I legit don't understand. Here's the thing about Meg and Cardi, right?
You know why they bother them.
Let me say, we got to spell it out so that people can't deny it. So, Cardi is a former stripper. She has a filthy mouth, which is one of the reasons why I love her.
Let me add this. Stripping is also one of the oldest jobs and professions in world history.
Correct. It is
in bartending.
It's also recession proof. So she's former stripper and was a stripper like when she was like 18 at that. Not like she was a stripper yesterday. Again, not that it matters, but she also like came up out of that, built a career, and but she has taken the stigma out of her past, right? She doesn't try to hide it. She doesn't try to gloss over it. She didn't try to do some fucking whole makeover or whatever. And she's not no shots to Eve at all. But Eve is 1,000 miles away from the stripper that she was when she came out of Philly. Cardi is still like that bitch is within arm's reach, which I respect both modes of movement. But I'm just saying, right?
If you wanted to give an example of American citizens who exemplified the definition of the American dream in the past 5 years, Cardi B would be on that list.
100%, right? Like, self-made. She's everything motherfuckers claim they want. She's self-made. She's determined. She's ambitious.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Which, by the way, is scientifically impossible. So I really wish we would get rid of that saying. She's self-made. She's self-determined. She's ambitious. She's strong-willed. She's talented. She's got charisma. But what motherfuckers do, and everybody be like, you know, nobody wants a wife or stripper, no, except that she actually has a husband and a child and a whole family and mad brand endorsement deals. And she's very lucrative.
And people also be like, when you get to the top, don't be messing, hanging with the same people. And I'm like, this is the same woman that got into a fight and then landed at Harper's Bazaar cover.
Exactly. Like, people hate, and she's well-liked, and people hate that Cardi defies stereotypes. You can't be hood and get these good white people's money. I remember after she had the fight while she was pregnant, everybody was like, now she's gonna lose. You can't be hood. You can't be act like that, getting these good white people checks, and Cardi's still getting them good white people checks. Guess what? Then we have Megan.
Oh, wait, but think about Cardi. Cardi defies everything black people have been told and taught about how you are supposed to succeed in white America.
Correct.
All the things that are inherently and true and just strictly black American and stuff that we do in private that we are told that we can't do in public because it would affect our employment or our income streams. She has turned it on her head and profited. Right. And a large group of black people do not know how to handle it because it has fucked up their thinking.
And you can't even say, like, she's stupid or she's ignorant because my girl is also sitting down with Bernie Sanders and, you know, AOC, like all of that shit, right? Like, she has an opinion. Just because she ain't spitting it out in the King's English like y'all motherfuckers think she's supposed to be.
And y'all can't spell the King's English most of the time anyway. Because y'all be on Twitter typing two when it's 2-0-0, not 2-0, dumbasses.
I did that yesterday. Sometimes we just be tired. So listen, also COVID, quarantine break is a real thing. So my typos have increased exponentially. It's insane. But also, then we
give us an edit button, Jack. Give us an edit button.
No, Jack isn't. You weren't there. Jack isn't going to give us an edit button because people are going to use it.
I was there because they gave us free dinner.
Yeah. We had a we were in a conversation with Jack that the special black people.
Hey, y'all want to talk about ratchet? That Jack got real ratchet.
I'm surprised we haven't really had a whole debrief amongst that crew yet, but that's another, anyway. So then we have Megan, who, you know, fine.
Is my wife.
Stacked.
In my mind.
Gorgeous, but like, bars, right? Like,
bars.
Ill Flow has been donned the predecessor to Pimp C. Like, you know what that means for somebody to be like, this is Pimp C's protege when she was a fucking child when Pimp C died. You know what I'm saying? Like,
bitch,
so she got bars, she got flow, she got body, and she's got a fucking college degree.
Working on it.
I thought she finished.
I didn't know she was finished with the COVID because she was doing online classes. I didn't know if it was all the way done.
I thought she finished over the summer for some reason. But anyway,
she's got a plan for what she wants to do after that with that degree.
And she close. But my thing is like, why do y'all care that she got her ass cheeks out and she does splits and shit? Like, why? Why does that?
Why they care?
So here's the thing. Hip hop has, we all know that hip hop has a problem with misogyny, but hip hop has a massive Madonna whore complex. And it's like, every time something like this happens, motherfuckers want to be like, but Lauryn Hill and blah, blah, blah. Listen, Lauryn Hill was fucking with two different married men and had a whole goddamn nervous breakdown, which is why she only gave us one studio album. She
ain't been on time for a concert since 98.
Paid niggas for the work they did in 20 years and doesn't give a fuck about the fans. Like, she is not the gold standard, y'all. Like, she's really not.
Lauryn Hill is not the girl from Sister Act who Shirley Rapp would not let go sing in a choir.
Like, and then they want to bring up, even though Badu's not a rapper, Badu is hip-hop adjacent, but, like, if anybody else was Erica, y'all would drag her up and down the street for having three kids by three different rap daddies. Like,
and she was all out on Twitter about Jafar Kelly. But I ain't gonna say nothing. But, like,
just because a bitch wear a hair wrap and smells like patchouli does not mean...
Just because he wear a kufi don't mean that he nice.
Right. I'm just saying, like, and that's honestly is no disrespect to Lauren or to Erica, but I really hate the way, like, we segment our women in rap. So it's like, you can either be sexy or you can be righteous or you got to be one of the guys. So you either have to be like the earth mother, conscious sister. And what people miss is that even the way they stand up for Badu and for Lauren, like, these two women are fucking stunningly beautiful. And people really act like I don't see them going up for No Name like that. I don't see them going up for Rhapsody like that. I don't see people invoking Latifah or Light like that. But, like, y'all pick, like, Lauren is stunningly beautiful. Or was, is, whatever. Like, cheekbones, like, petite frame, conventionally gorgeous, flawless skin. And so she is sexy, y'all, right? But she's not the same kind of sexy. But it's like, y'all have to put these people in categories. So, like, Megan and Cardi, you don't want to admit they can actually spit because they got their titties and their ass out. So somehow that...
Shout out to the city girl. Shout out to JT and Reason.
Right. So somehow that lowers the quality of their content because they got asses out. And also, like, I think everybody's really frustrated that they can't even insult them because the song literally samples some hoes in this house.
Which is another classic. Shout out to Frank Ski.
A banger, by the way. So I'm just like, I don't know when we're going to stop pretending that the problem isn't just that niggas just don't like it when women, and some women too, I'm not even going to
write it. It's not like it is.
Like it when women are actually like, this is what I do, this is what I like, this is what I'm about, and own that shit, and are able to own it and stand in it in the face of everything we were taught we weren't supposed to do. Like, that's what you hate. You hate that you were taught that good girls who win do this, and girls who do that don't win. And these broads is winning. That makes you mad.
You better than me, because I don't even think it's that deep. I think it's way more than that. This is all internal. From a male standpoint, these are two women that you want and you can't have. And that bothers you.
And the fact that they have not just standards for what they want in a man, but standards for what they want in a dick is threatening.
And that they're demanding that you... They're demanding things from their lovers.
Right.
That these men know that they cannot provide or know how to do. Secondly, for some of the women, notice I said some, not all, that are upset. This is about you wishing that you can do that because that's what you really want to do, but you just don't have the guts to actually do it. So how dare them do something and live the life that you want to lead, but you don't have the balls and or ovaries to do yourself. That's what this is about.
You're right, because men definitely have this complex, like, it's all, because that's the thing that kills me about hip-hop, is that hip-hop loves strip club culture. We love it. We love strip clubs more than anything in the fucking world. Hip-hop and the strip club is like peanut butter and motherfucking jelly, right? We love the strippers. Literally, 2 hours before WAP dropped, 2 Chainz had strippers in the fucking verses, bending over, shaking ass, making it rain.
Essential workers.
Essential workers in the verses. I ain't seen not a peep, not a complaint, nobody was scandalized. The WAP video comes out.
Also, the other best part of that verse is, let me just add, is that no one was paying attention to Rick Ross's Wingstop setup he had.
I absolutely wasn't
involved. Genius. It was genius. And I
in the beginning.
Great execution by both of those gentlemen.
Lemon pepper wet. But
dry.
Actually, I do prefer lemon pepper dry too. You're right. But most the blacks like lemon pepper wet. You know that.
They ain't got them from the right places in Atlanta. You get dry rub, change your life.
But at Wingstop, that lemon pepper dry is the shit. Matter of fact, I could really go. I might get Wingstop tomorrow. Anyway, I digress. Just hours before Wap drops. So we got essential workers, to your point, in Versus. Then we got this, which is really, I don't even think they were ever, like I said, aside from the scene with Cardi and the pasties, they were never in anything more scandalous than a swimsuit. No. Than a swimsuit level, right?
No.
Doing splits and stuff like that. Like, there were no simulated sex acts. No. There were no, like, it really wasn't crazy. It was
there
not.
There were no popsicles being licked or sucked or bananas. There
wasn't even a whole lot of, like, you know, like inferences. Like, it was PG-13 at most.
It was just bars.
Bars and, like, attracted, like, B has shown more skin in videos.
Way more. Y'all don't remember the partition video where it starts with her ass in a thong?
Listen, they ain't even have one thongs.
Megan hit the splits.
Okay. Well, Megan hit the splits, but she ain't having whatever. So I'm just saying, if you can only appreciate women when you are able to project your fantasies onto them and your fantasies are only about what they can do for you, and your fantasies don't include, like, men, I've said this before on Twitter, because y'all be telling yourself every day. Sex is so much better when the woman that you're having it with is into it and comfortable and happy. And
I didn't know there was another way you could have it besides the fear,
there's all kinds of other ways you can have it. And niggas really just be all about theirs. And I have met some women who, like, hadn't had orgasms through sex and be, like, in their 30s. And I'm like, boo, how? Why? Who? What? Well,
that's a deeper conversation.
I'm just saying. And I mean, like, listen, it's not as simple as just y'all need to get out. I realize there's the church got people's head fucked up. Yeah. You know, the same school of thought that had fucking T.I. bragging about taking his 18-year-old to the gynecologist on a fucking podcast got people's heads fucked up. This idea that you're supposed to keep your daughter locked under key until she turns 18 and all of a sudden just release her out into the world and she's supposed to figure it out. And these will be the same dudes who you don't want your baby girl to be touched by anybody, but then you'll be worried if she's not married and she ain't got kids by a certain age. Like, it's like with what?
I remember going on a date once. Mm-hmm. With a young lady, and there's always that situation where, like, and I'm great with parents, but this one particular parent, this one father figure, was trying to intimidate me, and it never works. It's nothing to see through, because ain't nothing shady going on over here. And you know, he pulled me to the man on man conversation. Always happens the first time, and he flat out, and he was just like, "So you like my daughter, you're trying to so-and-so, ain't you?" 99.9% of dudes would be like, no, sir. And I was like, yeah.
Maybe.
No, I literally said, yeah. I was like, one, you want me to lie to you? Or two, if I didn't, that How means that I don't like girls.
How old were you?
This is high school.
And you didn't get thrown out the house?
No, because I kept it a book.
What did
he say? He was just like, I respect that.
But did you qualify it with, like, eventually, not like tonight?
No, I would just say, like, he was asking me, like, he was saying, like, in general, the way he posed in general. And I was like, yeah, because I was like, I'm not going to lie. I told him, I was like, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Because I was like, that's disrespectful to lie to you in your house about something you know I'm lying about.
Why do
you think I'm here?
Right.
Fam, of course. Also, fam, you used to be 17. Like, let's not act stupid here, bro. Like, there's a way to do this and a way to do this in a shady way. I'm telling you straight up to your face, keeping it a book, yes, I am trying to do something, but I'm going about it the right way. Like, right. We're humans. That's what we're supposed to do. Like,
right.
We have these pleasure organs for a reason. Yeah. Yeah. So if you asked me the question, I was like, yeah, sir, I am.
You know what? I can only respect your G. And I will also say, like, guys, this is a whole nother, I was about to go down a whole road about teenagers and shit, and that's a whole nother conversation. I'ma hold that to the side. For now, what I will say is, if WAP has you clutching your pearls, worried about your children, worried about the sanctity of Black womanhood, I need you to ask yourself why. And that may sound like a silly question, but no, I really need you to ask yourself why. Why?
Can I give an answer, please?
Video, no, I want the people to do a thought exercise and meditate on.
No, it's not even that deep.
And have an honest conversation with themselves.
I really want to give the answer.
Give your idea of the answer.
It's because they have DOPS.
They have what?
DOPS. They don't have WAPS. They have DOPS. Substitute the W.
I don't think that everybody who doesn't like
substitute the WAP or drop. who doesn't like WAP has drop.
Like I said, I think some of it is there are grown women who were taught their whole lives you can't be free like that and prosper.
No, but hear me out. Like, scientifically, I'm gonna break this down. Oh, if God. You have a WAP, you are asserting that your level of fluidity is at a heightened level.
Lord.
And so if something is at a heightened level, that means there is a level below it that is average.
So they have OP.
Yes. So therefore, if you see
OP
and you see people with a WAP bragging about their WAP, you probably feel a way that you cannot achieve this level.
Okay. Or maybe there are ops who have not yet learned how to unlock the WAP.
And then sometimes that's just a personal journey of discovery for yourselves.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap this on up. We appreciate y'all for listening, as always. I should have actually started with that. But we appreciate y'all for listening. We appreciate y'all for being with us. You could have been listening to anything else in the world right now, but you are listening to us, and we do not take it for granted that you, if we're going to talk in church terms, that you count it not robbery. Mm. Spend this time with us. Karin, do you have any parting words?
Just that I'm going to have some more of this cognac for Kamala. Because it's a good day.
It is a good day. Shout out to Kamala. And we will see y'all next week.